And a good day it is. This is the day we call Good Friday. And as we have been going through the seven last words of Jesus Christ on the cross, on this Good Friday, we have reached the sixth word. Again, just in the just giving some announcements. We look forward to concluding the seventh word this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. If the Lord allows, we will be having again our podcast, our special podcast we've been doing this week on Sunday morning. And if the Lord allows us, we'll also be having our regular Sunday message at 11 o'clock. Let us pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be able to reach out, Father, and give forth some prayerful Christian conversation and discussion concerning you. So we ask, Lord, that you would direct and guide our thoughts, our speech, what we say, what we hear. We look forward to your guidance, your direction, the wisdom and understanding that you might impart to us, Father, impart to us, that we may be able to rightly divide your word, if that's what you allow us to share. This, Father, I do pray, and also asking, Lord, that you would just direct me in such a manner, Lord, use me to do that which you would have done. That what you would have go forth, Father, be received, and that it yield the fruit that you intend for it to yield. This again, I do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Again, I welcome you to our special edition of the St. Jane Missionary Baptist Church podcast, whereby I'm your host, Brother Cotton, who also happens to be pastor of St. James Missionary Baptist Church. We are talking this week, as I've stated earlier, about the seven last words of Christ. And even though they're commonly traditionally called this, we are also looking at these words as acts of love. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It is in this very spirit of this verse that we look at these seven last words, these seven acts of love. And having stated that, you remember our theme to our podcast, how important is the word of God to you? Okay. And we always, continue that with the question, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to, and that we put in our various topic that we're talking about this, that particular time or that day. In this case, the question is, Rose, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to the word of victory? The sixth word of Christ from the cross is the word of victory, which you'll find in the Gospel of St. John, the 19th chapter and the 30th verse, which I'm going to read, which is, I'm going to be reading in the New International Version. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Gospel of St. John, the 19th chapter and the 30th verse. The sixth word from Jesus while on the cross was a cry of victory. A cry of victory. The sixth word, "It is finished," is Jesus declaring that everything he came from heaven to earth to do was now completed. Now, I don't know exactly how loud Jesus cried this out. He had been hanging on the cross for a while now, and having lost the blood and all that he'd lost, and being so weak, and I don't know how frail he was at this point. So I don't know how loud he could speak, but this is a word of content. No, excuse me, of victory, a declaration, as we stated. Okay, letting whomever was in earshot know that, hey, everything that I was sent to do, I've done. Now, some of you are looking around and say, well, there's a whole lot that, as we look through the years, that the Lord has been doing this, he's been doing that. And that is true. But what he was sent to do at that time, he did. He did. Okay. And this is what we need to understand. We spoke about that a little bit last time we spoke. That day, you may be in a house that's under construction. Maybe y'all are building it. Y'all just got it, and the whole house needs to be painted or plastered. All kinds of stuff may need to be done. But as part of the group, the family, the team that is doing this, you may have been giving one of those tasks to do. And that's what you did. Doesn't mean that the whole place, everything, the whole house was completed, but your part, the task that you were given, you've done. Now, maybe when you finish that task, you'd be given another one to help continue to complete, the house. Well, this is the case with Jesus. There's a whole lot to be done in the world. We know that. Even when the world was at this earlier stages when Jesus was here. Okay. As we stated, yeah, we can think of we just mentioned a couple of occasions where he fed thousands of people. He could easily have fed the whole world. There were other people around that were without food and all that, but that's not what he came to do at that time. So when he says it's finished, the task that he was sent to do was finished. Now, some of you say, well, what was he sent to do? Okay, well, let's look a little bit into that. Okay. Let's look a little bit into that. When we look at and consider the life and ministry of Jesus, in particular his public ministry, we can think of several things that Jesus dying on the cross made complete. Now, I mentioned Jesus' public ministry, and listen, I'm not always looking to just try to stir things up and add something new. There's nothing new I'm going to add to what the scripture says. Sometimes I, in my feeble attempt, maybe I'm trying to point out something that may not be commonly stated, and I just want to hear people's respond to it. For example, we always say Jesus' public ministry started, when he appeared around 30 years of age. I don't agree. I don't agree. I believe his public ministry started when he was 12 years old, because that's when he went to the temple, and he was amazing, those people, how he expounded on the scriptures at such an age. Now, that's not public ministry. I don't know what it is. That's up for discussion, debate at another time. I just had to put that in there because, well, like we said, what is traditionally taught, and I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying. Okay, so anyhow, Jesus said it is finished. Okay. Now he's getting ready. He's getting ready. Okay, to give up his ghost. But he said it's finished. That means his task that he came here to do was complete. And we've already stated that there were a number of things, several things, okay, that Jesus' death made complete, that Jesus' death finished. For example, we know that Jesus fulfilled some prophecies. His death fulfilled some prophecies. Things have been written about his death, even hundreds of years before he walked on the scene. Y'all know, and I say, I'm not going to, go through the whole litany, the whole list of different things that happened, but we know that Jesus' death fulfilled some prophecies. We know that. We know that Jesus' death let everybody know that he had victory over Satan. Now, some of you are saying, well, we know, some of you seasoned scholars say, well, we know that Jesus always had victory over him. But we have to understand what Jesus was showing us in the scriptures, even when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, and even through this act that he's doing now, the as we could say, the final curtain in this play. At the, no, I won't even call it the final curtain. No, at this, at this point. But Jesus is showing you how, as a man, he walked among us. He walked among, and I want to point something out to some people that I think is important. People say, well, yeah, it's easy to go out and do all of this stuff when you got power like Jesus had when he walked around. But I want y'all to understand something. How Jesus is showing us how you stay focused on the task at hand. How many times have you noticed? Yes, Jesus had power. Jesus did miraculous things and also told us that we too could do these things. I want you to watch this. I'm showing you how you can heal the sick, give sight to the blind. But I'm also letting you know, because these are things that you will be able to do. You will be able to do. This is why I have my servants write, you can do all things through me. I have to go and do some things for you to be able to do these, do this. This is where it starts, right here at the cross. Right here at the cross. Okay? He's showing us the victory over Satan. This is for those to come. As Jesus and God the Father looked in their infinite wisdom and saw how man was going to be, this so I could show them that yes, you too can do these things. Yes, I do have victory over Satan. He has no control over me. I walked around and showed you that. Yes, we already had given Satan some power, but I'm showing you here as a man, as a man, but he has no power. He has no power over me. And as you believe in me, as you believe in what I'm doing here, if you believe in that the blood that I'm shedding here for you, you'll find that he has no power over you. You'll find that out too. You too will be able to have victory over Satan. I have victory over sin. I've told you, sin no longer have power over you. Yes, the world has all types of laws. The world has all types of things that it allows through, even through the law. But you can overcome that. Yes, you must. You live here. You live here in the world, but no, you're not going to be a partaker, a practicer of the things of this world. You too. We know what it's like to be able to have victory over these type of temptations that the world will throw at you, and they do. They throw them at you in all kind of different ways. Satan has many tricks. He said, "Well, I'm not going to go into this den of iniquity." No, he said, "Okay, maybe he'll send you a friend, a good friend, a family member." And they say, "Hey, you ain't doing nothing. Let's go hang out." Okay, and where does this friend or family member take you? To the very den you say you're not going. You say, "Well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But I'm hanging out with my friend, with my family member. This is the place. This would be the time." Then you say, "No, I'm not going to that." Stand up. Stand up. And you say, "Well, I may not be able to do that." The Lord is saying, "That's why I'm showing you can have victory over sin, because I did. I told you. If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And you can do this." This is one of the reasons why Jesus showed us these things, to let us know that we can have victory. He said, "Well, Lord, I don't know. I'm just dependent on you." And didn't do that. And go back to what we have said, even in time past. And I've told folks, and they didn't like this one until they understand what I meant. It's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough. You must also believe him. You just believe that. You don't mean just believe he exists. Don't you realize even the demons and the devil himself know that God exists? They believe, they believe in God, but they don't believe him. Otherwise, they would acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. Otherwise, they would do as he has commanded them to do in his word. But he's letting us know, those of us who believe in him, those of us who are followers of Jesus, that you can have victory over sin. And he's telling us that he has victory over death. Now, y'all say, "What do you mean? Victory over death. Don't we all have to die?" That is true. But I want y'all to understand something. As a lot of people say, "Well, they're afraid of death." They're not really afraid of death. If they're real completely honest, it's not death that you're afraid of, because you know you're going to die. But that's the thing that folks are really afraid of, dying. "Oh, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through that." The pain, they're thinking about the pain of death. "I don't want to go through all that." Forgetting that Jesus said, "I have the keys to death, the keys to hell." And the key thing for me that gives me such an assurance, that he has taken away the sting of death. I've watched in my little lifetime here. I watched a couple of people leave here. Most of them, one that I really, 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 that stays with me was my father. I was able to see my father take his last breath. And I was also able to hear him say that, "It was just like you told me." This is what he said to me. "It's just like you said." He said, I don't, "The doctor said this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I'm going to feel this pain. They wanted to fill me with all of this." He said, with morphine or whatever it is to make me comfortable. He said, "But I don't feel no pain." I was right there. And he said, "I don't feel no pain." He began to sing this old song, and as I was sitting there with him, "I don't feel," and he said, "Yeah, just like you said it would be. It's just like the word says. God took the sting of death away from him. My father just went to sleep, took his breath and went to sleep. That's what he did. That's what we do as believers. Doesn't matter what caused him to get to that point. Doesn't matter what the Lord said, okay, you're getting ready to leave here. Yes, I was there. He could have very well have been there by himself without the presence of other people. But Jesus, his angels, would be there with him, with all of us. So what are you afraid of? You know where you're going. You know that Jesus is going to be there, the comforter is going to do what he does. So what are you worried about? And Jesus is letting us know that. He said, if nothing else, didn't I tell you I will be there with you? I am the comforter. Me and the comforter work together like that. The precious Holy Spirit, you know that they all work in one. We all right here to make sure that you're comforted, bringing a peace to you that passes all understanding. So I want you to know that I'm prepared to do that now. I'm going to be doing that. So yes, this is a cry, a declaration of victory. It's finished. I came here to do what I had to do. And let me tell you something else. I, in my death, in my dying, the way that I'm doing this, I'm securing salvation for all who would believe. See, the blood that I'm shedding is not just for those who have sinned in the past and those who are sinning now, but I'm looking way down the corridor of the time. And I see where Henry Cotton is going to want to receive me one day. My blood will cover his sins. I've seen this one and that one all through the years. That want to come to me. They're going to hear the word and they're going to receive the word. And it's going to be many of them that's going to feel as though they're not worthy. They're going to feel as though I'm just a rank sinner. The Lord won't receive me. I'm just filthy. A filthy sinner. And that's what you are. That's what we all were. But the blood of Jesus, which was shed for every one of us, we went under the blood, received the Lord as our Savior, became born again. And yet, and now, here we are. Because Jesus provided the way. I didn't say he provided a way. I said he provided the way for man to be saved, to be able to spend eternity with God. He did this. As he died on this cross, he secured that way. His death on that cross brought a new kingdom to earth that will be finished, that will be finished. He's initiated, he started this, and he's still building his church. He's still doing that. And his suffering now is over. His physical suffering that he'd been going through is over. This is what he's declaring. This is what he's declaring. That what I came here to do is accomplished. It's completed. It's finished. Jesus is obedient to the Father. And this act of love for mankind, for man, This act of allowing himself to suffer, bleed, die on this rugged cross, whereby redeeming us with this death on the cross, clearly shows him doing this, clearly shows that love that he has for man. Greater love. Greater love no one could ever have. That not just to give up his life, but to give it up in the way that he did. Many of us say that we would give up our life for our child, for our mate, for someone we really, really love. But Jesus did this. Not just for those around. He did this for the ones who were beating him. He did this for the ones who were scourging him. He did this for the ones who were ridiculing him. He did this for the ones, okay, who were just mocking him. He said, even you, if you repent, if you believe in me, you can come under this very blood that I'm shedding. If you believe, you too can be saved. He said, I've done this. I wish that everyone would be saved. He knew that they won't, but he said, I'm providing the way for everyone. If Hitler will confess, believe in me, and believe what I teach, believe me, he can be saved. Some of the most cruel people we've read about and some have heard about and some have maybe old enough to have seen some of them. They can be saved. They could be saved if they believed in Jesus and believed that he came to suffer, bleed, die, and then become resurrected for them. Take it personally. He lets you know, even from the cross, that it's finished. It's finished. You don't have to worry about a thing now. It's finished. You don't have to worry about how you're going to make it from day to day, who's going to keep you. It's finished. All of that, all those arrangements have been made. I showed you. That I gave an example of that even from this very cross to let you know that I will make sure that if you've gotten to that point, that age where you're alone, you're widowed, you're weak, I'll make sure that there's somebody to take care of you. I'll do that. I already made way for you to come to me, that you can be saved. You showed me, or should I say, I showed you how, though vile you may think you are, how so full of sin you may think you are, how the world has condemned you, how the laws of the world has convicted you and sentenced you. I have made sure and made the way for you to get from earth to glory. This is a cry of victory. A cry of victory. Yes, it's finished. The way has been made for man. The way has been shown to man. The ability for man to get from earth to glory is completed. And I want you to know something, and I'm going to say this and I'm about to finish. When Jesus died, you know, he remained in control all the way to the end. He didn't just die and boom, that was it. He handed over his spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit more, the Lord allows, in the next word. But he handed over his spirit. And somebody said, what do you mean he handed it over? We'll find that out. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. This is victory. It had to be done. This is what makes this Friday so good. Jesus don't die. These things that we just stated don't happen. There will be no need for me to be here to talk to you. There'd be no need for you to look forward. Or should I say, you would have no hope in looking forward to what's going to happen on the other side, as man likes to say. If Jesus don't die, doesn't happen in the way that he died. People think, man, it was so cruel, but Jesus was in control all the way. All the way. This is what it said in the scripture, and I'm about to finish. It says, it is finished. Watch that. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Man didn't take it. Death didn't take it. He gave it up. He gave it up. And some of you are wondering, oh man, he gave it up. What happened to it? The Lord allow us. We'll find that out in the last word. Oh, I want all you need to know and all you need to believe and all you need to remember and all you need to do is even read it for yourself that Jesus said, it is finished. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. We had to bring that point out about him giving up his spirit because there's so many people, like I said, there's so many false teachings out here. There are a lot of people who's teachings there, as some would say, their exegesis on this passage. Let's tell a lot of people. I'm not saying the majority of people. I'm not saying it's millions and millions of people. I don't know how many it is, but there's some people that goes on and interpret that Jesus' death, it was his death that brought forth the Holy Spirit. And that's really not true, way not true. You know, anybody has comments on that and believe that and you want to talk to me, you know how to reach me. But this is not the lesson to go into all that in depth. In depth, no, this is not the topic. But I didn't need to mention it to let folks know that nah, that's not when the Holy Spirit was born, as people say. Some people I've heard this. I wouldn't bring it up if I hadn't heard this. And I want them to know that nah, that's not true. It'll become even plainer. It should have become a little bit clearer today, but it'll become even plainer if the Lord allows us to give forth in the last word from the cross. Jesus covered all of this stuff. Okay. I'll leave you with this. This cry of victory from the cross. Some people say, how could it be victorious? He died there. He was crucified there. He went through pain and suffering there. But this was a cry of victory from the one who was being crucified, the one who was dying, the one who was going through the suffering and the pain, yet under control. Not a cry coming out from pain of being in pain, but no. To clearly let folks know, you can have the victory through me because it is finished. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.